Okay, it is 6 o'clock and we are on Kuf Zayin Amud Beis. We are Gehazi, second wide line. Gehazi, what is the story of Gehazi? He's one of the people that didn't make it to Olam Haba, I believe. He's listed way back when, and Rav Tzadi Amar Aleph, as one of the four judges, the last one of the four. Bilam, Dayag, Achitayfel, and we are up now to Gehazi. Gehazi. It's interesting, in the Gemara of Achitayfel, more time was spent discussing Dabar HaMeloch than was spent discussing Achitayfel. Gehazi, the Chsiv, it's written, Vayelich Elisha Damascus. Elisha went to Damascus. In fact, the Gemara Lehecha Azal. Where did Elisha go? Why did he go to Damascus? He went to bring Gehazi back with tshuva, and he did not change his mind. He said, do tshuva. This is what I learned from you. One who sins and makes others sin, we do not enable him to do tshuva. And therefore, since he caused others to sin, so he felt he could not do tshuva. Now, it's mashma from the Gemara that he could have done tshuva, right? It doesn't say that Elisha responded to him and said, no, you can't do tshuva. It doesn't say that. I don't know why not. But the Mefarshim say he could have done tshuva. He just has a much harder time in doing tshuva because the fact that he caused others to go to Gehenna does not bode well for him unless he does tshuva. Now, the Gemara elsewhere, when the Gemara quotes Hachayti Makdi Sarabim, and I think it's the Gemara in Mesech Teshuma, the Gemara there says, in order that he shouldn't be Gan Eden, the Tamid of the Gehenna. How could it be that he should be in Gan Eden and others should be in Gehenna? So the Mefarshim asks, if that's the case, so why is it Hachayti Makdi Sarabim? What if he's Hachayti Makdi an individual? It's the same concept. How could he be in Gan Eden and someone else that he caused put in Gehenna? Right? Why is it Hachayti Makdi Sarabim? Should be a chayti umachti, period. So the Mepharshim say that that's Svara. So he who chaveira, he in Gan Eden and his chaveira began. I mean, Lamaiti, he did tshuva. He did tshuva. One can do tshuva on all chatoim. So why should the fact that somebody else got caused to sin mean stop his tshuva? The answer is, if it's a yachid, you can make that taina. But if it's a rabbim, the fact that there's a rabbim there, that taina of a rabbim takes away the shat and the shemaya to do tshuva. So it's only Achayti Umachti Sarabim, Ema speaking beyond the last is Tshuva, does not get that Shat of the Shemayah. But the Mepharshim also speak out that nothing precludes Tshuva. Someone will learn that if a person does real Tshuva, that'll cause all those people that he caused to sin to do Tshuva as well. That will be the power of his Tshuva, because since in order for him to get his Tshuva accepted, they have to do Tshuva. So if he does a real Tshuva, that will cause all others to do tshuva. Some want to say that even without that, the bottom line is he did tshuva, tshuva is accepted. Except it's very difficult to do tshuva because he's up against the fact that others are in Gehenna because of him. My oven, what did Gehazi do? Now, I'd like to give, I was going to wait for a few more people to show up so I shouldn't have to repeat myself. But I'd like to give a background on the story of Gehazi. So we should understand exactly why Gehazi is in this thing. Elisha goes to get him to do tshuva. He doesn't do tshuva. Exactly why Gehazi is in the situation that he is. I mean, I'm not going to go through the whole history of Gehazi. Suffice it to say that even as he was Elisha's servant, he was Elisha's trusted servant, even at that time he committed some averis that Chazal documents. The famous story when Elisha did Chiyas HaMesim on the son of the Isha from Shunem, he sent Gehazi, he told Gehazi not to speak to anybody, he said to put the staff on the face of the baby and the baby would be alive again. He was told not to speak to anybody. He made it his business to make sure everybody did speak to everybody. He wanted that the nation should not work. When the Isha Shunem came to get to Elisha, he tried to block her. He held on to her breast, the Gemara said. He grabbed her by her breast. I mean, the Gemara does attribute the stories prior to the Bikrate. The Gemara does attribute stories to Gehazi beforehand. But that's not what gets Gehazi into the hot water that he gets mentioned in this Mishnah. But Get Gehazi in the hot water is that story is that Naaman, the general of Aram, got Saras. Someone told him that you go to Elisha, he davens for you, he can cure you. He comes to Elisha, Elisha refuses to go out to meet him, sends him a message that he should go tevel in the yarding 7 times. Gehazi, Naaman gets very upset, he thinks he's being mocked. And his servants say, you have nothing to lose. Try it. So he goes to the garden, he's tevel 7 times, his saras leaves him. He's unbelievably impressed. He comes back to Elisha and he offers him all kinds of presents and money. Elisha refuses him, and Naaman leaves. And that's when Naaman became a ger teshuv. We learned earlier that Naaman became a ger teshuv, accepted not to serve Avodah Zarah, except he will hold on to the king when the king bows, but he himself will not serve Avodah Zarah. But Gehazi decided he wanted the money. He chased after Naaman, told Naaman that Elisha decided to take the money. Naaman gives him the money. He goes and he acquires things with it. He buys things with it. He hides the money and comes back. And Elisha tells him, I saw everything that happened. I saw you take the money. I saw you do everything. And therefore he cursed Gehazi. Now, what the Mepharshim speak out, what bothered Elisha so much is not the actual taking of the money, but that it ruined the whole Kiddush Hashem in Naaman's eyes. Was diminished because of this. Because the rule is, you can take money for healing somebody. The Gemara says Elisha did accept presents from others. The Gemara in Bracha says that Shmuel HaNavi never took from others. Elisha did. He stayed in the lady's house with Shunem. He did take from others. But not for Nate. One doesn't get paid for miracles. One doesn't get paid for tefillah. One can be paid for natural healing, one can charge. One for miracles, you don't take money. By him coming to Naaman and accepting the money, he's diminishing the nace. He's making it sound that it's the Yarden has this power in it, not that the Rabbeinu Shlomo made a nace for Naaman through Elisha's davening. And therefore, it diminished the nace, it created a chil Hashem, and therefore Naaman got Elisha cursed Gehazi. Gehazi leaves, and he goes off further and further and further until he earns a spot in this Mishnah. We meet it here when Elisha goes to Damascus to get Gehazi to come back. He got Gehazi to come back. Gehazi refuses to come back because he was a chayte umachti yisarabim. That's what the story is.
The story with the Avram Atayim.
That's later on. That's after this. That's after Elisha died already. Ikud the army, my oven, what did he do? Ikud the army, Evan Shoyan, this Tavu Lachatis Yerabim. He put magnets by the Lachatis Yerabim. The Amida made Shemayim Loretz. He put in a system of magnets that people weren't aware of, and he had the eagle of Yerubim floating in midair. Not people didn't realize it's because of two opposite magnets were pulling it in two directions and kept it suspended in midair. He kept it camouflaged. Nobody saw the magnets. Nobody understood it was magnets, and he was able to make it float, and that made people believe in the eagle much more so. Here it is, able to float in midair without anything blocking it. The flashy. Sheavis Magbas Matchas Beloy Nagia. It picks up metal without touching it. Kainaisa Shaloyazin, whatever the word is in French. He was able to suspend the agolim of Yerubim in the air through these magnetic poles. Yes.
Is there, what is the exact translation of Sheavis?
A stone that draws. Okay, I mean,
The magnets were described there. They were known somewhat to exist, but as I recall, magnets were first used in navigation in the 9th century.
Well, again, if everybody would have known about magnets, he wouldn't have been able to pull this off. The way he was able to pull it off is because people didn't know about magnets.
Yeah, but I'm not worried about him knowing that one. It's more about the what is meant by Evan Shaw Evans, because it's the Gemara writer.
Again,
would it be possible to understand, though it would be legitimate to understand also, Emmet is that the nace and the leash were not diminished in Naaman's eyes, or not corrupted in Naaman's eyes for accepting money, because this is what was normal, what he was used to. This was, but what it was is it changed, Elisha from being someone different to being just one of the guys at a different, at a higher level?
I'm telling you again, I read the Mepharshim, I can't give you names. The consensus of the Mepharshim was that it diminished the action because it made it into quote unquote Teva instead of Nais. Elisha was Nana, but he wasn't Nana for Nisim.
Yeah, I know the Gemara problem. But there are a couple of other places where things were Spencer was.
Okay. Ikka d'Amri Shem Chakak Mechia, he put a name of Hashem into the mouth of the eagle. Vaisem Achrezos Vaimeres Vanoichiv Lo Yelach. And it was his Kaikos HaTumah. He was able to get the eagle to say Anoichi v'lo yilach, as if it's the God. And that caused many to stray afterwards. So that's Chaytiu Machdis HaRabim. V'ikid Yami, Rabbanon Dachami Kamei. He kept Rabbanon away from Elisha. He did not let people who wanted to come learn from Elisha come and learn from him. And that's Chaytiu Machdis HaRabim, because they didn't learn by him, they didn't reach their potential, and they didn't reach the Madregas they could reach, and they could have caused them to sin. After Gehazi leaves, the Bnei Avim say to Elisha, the place that we are living is very tight. We don't have good accommodations. What happened till now? Because till now there were adequate accommodations because Gehazi didn't let people in. Now, the Gemara in Brochas brings a machlokes tanoim, whether we're supposed to let everybody in, or only people that deserve to be let in. But that's from Gamliel, who felt l'shem shemayim, that in order to be in yeshiva, one has to be teichel kibaroi. One has to be on the level that his inside is like the outside, he's totally sincere. But Gehazi didn't do that. He might have claimed to have done that, but his motivation was not to keep those people who are not totally sincere out of the base medrash. It was to keep Elisha's influence minimalized, and therefore he was called the Chaytiu Machdis HaRabim. Zok Rashi, Rabbanon Dachim Mikamei, HaTamidim Dachim Yeshivasa Shel Elisha. He pushed away Tamidim from the yeshiva of Elisha. Tzarmi Meni, the Mikhlad Adahidna Loi Havitzar, till then it was not tight. Dr. Gemara Vaiter, Tan Rabbanon, the Olam Tehe Smail Daichav. He didn't let people in. He said, "There's no room in yeshiva. Go find a different yeshiva." Tana Rabbanan Loilam Tei Small Daichav Yimim Karevus. A person should push away with his left hand, but keep close with his right hand, because if you push somebody away with both hands, they don't return, and the person pushing them away can be blamed somewhat for the action. Like Elisha should talk with the Gehazi b'shtei yadayim. Not like Elisha that pushed away Gehazi with two hands. Gehazi. And now it's explaining. And now the truth is, over here, there is the light, there's supposed to be a line from the censer. Now, Archko Gemaras will not have it because they did not put the censored Gemara back into the Gemara due to the fact that the same reason it was censored is the same reason they don't want it to be viewed by people who censored it. So therefore, I will read it here. V'loitre Mishu ben Prachya, Shadachbul Yeshu Hanaitri Bishne Yadayim. And not like the Mishu ben Prachya that pushed Yeshu Hanaitri, referring to Yashka, away with both hands, and the Gemara will bring the story into Kisrayin Tashas. Two people, Elisha and the Mishu ben Prachya, pushed people away with two hands, and the consequences were not good. Gehazi loses his Eilam Haba, and Yeshu Hanaitri does what he did, basically caused people to serve a later Zara. Gehazi d'chsev ayayim Naaman. Naaman said to Gehazi, Hayel, please, kach kikarim, take the kikarim, are the loaves of silver. Vayifritz bay, and he begged him, vayotzer kikarim kesef, and he tied up, he hid, he covered, he wrapped around, what does he say?
Wrapped
two kikarim of kesef. Vayomer Elof Elisha. And when Gehazi returns, Elisha says to him, Me'ayin Gehazi, where are you coming from, Gehazi? Right? Me'ayin Gehazi. Vayomer, and he said, Vayholach Abdecha Ana Ana. He said to him, your servant didn't go here and there. Vayomer Elof, and Elisha told him, Vaylibi Halach. You don't think my heart went with you? Kasha Hafak Ishmael Makaptai, when the man turned from his chariot, Likrasecha, to greet you? Ha'eslakakas is a kesef, was it the time to take the silver? The kakas begadim, and to take clothing, v'zesim. And I'm reading the, and zesim is, olives, akramim, and vineyards, v'tzayinu bakar, v'abadim, mushvachas. So he's telling him, was that the time to take that? Now the problem is, Gehazi did not receive all that. All he received was the silver. And Elisha is attributing 8 things to him. Elisha said, you took kesef, v'begadim, and zaysim, and krumim, and tzayin, and bakar, and avadim, and shvach. That's 8 things. Will be shakal kulahai, kesef, v'begadim, will be shakal. He took 2 things. He took kesef, v'begadim. And Elisha is telling him he took 8 things. Elisha was learning with Gehazi in his yeshiva. They were learning the parak of Shemai Nishratzim. And the Gemara is going to go through the whole story here till we get to the fact what it had to do with the 8 things. Naaman Sartzvam Malach Aram Hoya. Naaman was the general of Aram. Mitzaira, he was a Mitzaira. Amr Lehi Revisa, this girl, the Ishtaboy Mara Yisrael, that had been captured from the Jews, a Jewish captive. She said to him, he also forgot me, Elisha, if you go to Elisha Masiloch, he will heal you. He asked him when he came, Amalei, he told him, Zil Tzvah B'yayden, go dip in the yayden. Amalei said, Amalei said, Achuchichem Echagas, you're laughing at me, you're mocking me. Amalei, Hanu Dehavi Badei, so his advisors told him, Anafkelach Mina, what do you have to lose? Zil Nasi, go test it. Also, B'tavah B'yayden, he went to the yayden, V'itzin, he got healed. Also, Aisilei Kalhani, he brought him the nugget, he brought him all the presents that he had. He was going to give him Kasef and Gadim. He did not want to accept it. Gehazi left Elisha. He went and took what he took. He made up a story that Elisha needs the money to help something, to do some mitzvah. He needs a need of money. Can you please give him the money? And he hit it. Elisha looked at him and saw that Taras was beginning to go on his head. Amalei Russia. You're going to receive the schar of Shmai Nishratzim now. Your learning will be rewarded now by the fact that you took this money. And that's why he mentions 8 things that could be acquired with money, because he's telling him you're getting your schar of Tyre right now. And Taras Naman Tidbuk B'chav B'zarachat Olam, the Taras of Naman will attach themselves to you and your children forever. And this was Dachvoy LeGehazi Bishtei Yadayim. Gehazi goes on, he does his Averis that he did by making the Avodah Zarah of Yeravam look much more appealable to people, more appealing, and he doesn't do tshuva. When Elisha goes to get him to do tshuva, it doesn't work. He says it's too late for me to do tshuva. He gives up. And he ends up losing his chaylik na'elam haba. Let's catch up with Rashi. So Rashi, hayol kach hashba shalisha, meaning he asked him to swear. Rashi says hayol means swear, and then you can take it. Shalisha shalachacha, and Gehazi swore. Vayivtsa by Gehazi begged him and took the money. Hayisla kach says hakesef abegadim shmain edvarim kachashiv. It's listing 10 things. Vayivtsa by Rashi, that Rashi thought to be a big Gehazi. Naaman begged Gehazi to take the money. The Gehazi mishakel kula hai mi Naaman kesef begadim with mishakel. He only took 2 things. Elisha was Isaac the parent Shmei Nishratzim. Amalei higia eis little sky parent Shmei Nishratzim shasakti. The time has come to receive the reward of the parent that shasakta. They changed the gears, I believe. Shasakti boy that I learned in, that you learned with me. You think you're going to buy those 8 things? That'll be your schar for Shmai Nishratzim for learning Torah. Meaning, it's time has come. Now, I don't know, maybe others learned it as a Lashon Bitnia. Do you think it's time to take the schar Shmai Nishratzim? I'm not sure. I understood it as a fact. You will receive the schar Shmai Nishratzim. How does he explain it? As a question or as a statement? Hegiyaschar.
Question,
meaning, do you think it's time to take the 8 things as schar for Shmai Nishratzim? I thought I saw in the Mepharshim that he was telling him, this is going to be your reward.
So, your reward is here. You're taking your reward as the Olam Hazeh.
Right. Later on, there's a story with the 4 Mitzrayim that were outside the city famous case that happened with Shimron, and who were these four Mitzvahim? I'm Rabbi Yechon and Gechaz Yushloi Shabanov. Now the question is, why weren't they allowed into the city? The only cities that Mitzvahim are banned from legally are cities that had a wall from the days of Yeshua ben Nun. Cities that did not have a wall from Yeshua, the days of Yeshua ben Nun, are not considered Machne Yisrael, and a Metzayra can live there. Meaning a Metzayra can live in an open city. A Metzayra can live in Tel Aviv, a Metzayra can live in Bnei Brak. These are not walled cities from the days of Yeshua ben Nun. A Metzayra can live in Cleveland. There is no restriction. The only cities a Metzayra is banned from are the cities that were walled since the days of Yeshua ben Nun. Now we learned before that Shimron was a new city built by Omri. And if it was a new city built by Omri, it obviously did not have walls from the days of Yeshua ben Nun. This is a major controversy in that Brayna. Some want to say that in truth, it was a city existing before, a very small city, and that Omri strengthened it, made it into a bigger city. But the walls that were there had been there previously. Others want to say that Omri wanted Shimron to be same as Yerushalayim, so he put the restrictions in place as if it were Yerushalayim. Meaning, legally speaking, the Mitzvahim could come in, but Omri wasn't, they weren't letting them in because they were trying to make their capital city the same as Yerushalayim, and Yerushalayim Mitzvahim can't come in, so we don't let Mitzvahim in here. And the third group of people, Achrayim, say that too legally they're allowed to come into a city, but what usually happened was Mitzvahim were kicked out of any city because it was contagious. Tzaraas can be contagious. It's a disease because to keep people away from it, they say certain types of tzaraas can be contagious. They are machalic between tzaraas of a guy and tzaraas of a yid. Tzaraas of a yid cannot, is not contagious, but tzaraas of a guy is contagious. And Elisha's curse to Gehazi was, you should get the tzaraas naman. So he gave him the form of tzaraas that Goyim have. Now Goyim don't have halachic tzaraas. They have a disease called tzaraas. Yidden have halachic tzaraas. So therefore, he said to him, Taras Naman Tidbuk Bukha. So he gave Gehazi the form of Taras that's contagious. And therefore, people had Gehazi and his kids out of town due to the fear of that they would catch the same thing. That's what some don't say. So we have three different opinions. Some say that it was legally they were banned. Some say it was the facade that the people in Shimron wanted to maintain that they're as good as Yerushalayim. And some want to say that due to the kind of Taras that he had, people kept him out of town. Now the here is the piece of Chisroinus Hashat. Again, our school does not have this next Gemara. Something Gemara, Rabbi Shua ben Parachya Mahi. What is the story with Rabbi Shua ben Parachya? Kidakatlinu Yanai Malkul Rabbanon. When Yanai killed the Rabbanon, it was a time in history, in the days of the Chashmonaim, that there was a king named Yanai who decided he would be Kayin Gadol and king. And the Rabbanon questioned his ability to be Kayin Gadol because there was a question whether his mother had been, she had been captured, whether she had a relationship with a guy which would make her unfit to be married to a Kayin, and she was married to a Kayin, and Yanai was born from that union, and the question was, is he a Chalol or not? And Rabbanim had this question. At the end of the day, he ended up being kosher. But since they had this question, it was very Yanai felt very antagonized by the fact that Rabbanim are questioning his legitimacy to be a Kayin Gadol, and he killed out Rabbanim. Gemara and Kedushin, thanks to some advisors who told them that Torah is around with Rabbanon, without Rabbanon, it's in the Arna Kaidish. Anybody who wants to learn Torah can take the same for Torah and learn. And he killed out Rabbanon. So Shimon ben Shetach was his brother-in-law. Shimon ben Shetach was his wife's brother, Yanai's wife's brother. She hid her brother. He was saved. And Rabbi Shua ben Parachya escaped to Mitzrayim. Other Rabbi Shua ben Parachya, Alexandria Shul Mitzrayim. He ran to Alexandria. It seems one of the Mepharshim say that Mitzrayim had in its laws that they were a haven for anybody that escaped from their country. Even we find in earlier days, when Yerubim ran away from Shlomo, he also ran to Mitzrayim. Now, Shlomo was married to Bat Parai. He could have exercised his extradition treaty with Mitzrayim. It's his wife's country. But the answer is, Mitzrayim had this rule that Rabbanim say, you come there, they don't extradite anybody. You're safe, it's a safe haven for anybody that runs there. So anybody that had to escape from anything ran to Mitzrayim. That was the place you ran to. The Shimon ben Shetach atmarti achasei. Shimon ben Shetach was hidden by his sister. Kavishlomo, when things calmed down, Shalom by Shimon ben Shetach, min Yerushalayim, Yir HaKadosh. Shimon ben Shetach said from Yerushalayim, the holy city, L'chi Alexandria Shemitzrayim, Achaisi, to my sister's city, Alexandria. Bali Shara B'taychach, my husband lives amongst you, meaning the big Talmud Chacham, Rabbi Shua ben Parakya, lives there. V'noichi Hashem Shmeima, and I am sitting desolate, meaning, come back home, we need you here in Yerushalayim. Kamasa, so Rabbi Shua ben Parakya is on his way back, and he ends up in this inn. Avdulei Yikara Tuva. In the inn, they gave him unbelievable amount of honor. Amar Kama Yafach San Yezu. He said, how beautiful is this inn? How beautiful is this place to stay? Now, he used the word Achsanya, which can be used to describe the location, the inn, or can be used to describe the people running it. And he said, what a beautiful Achsanya. Amala Yeshu, his Talmud, says to Rabbi Shua ben Parakya, Rabbi Einayu Trutais, she has long eyes, she's not so beautiful. You say she's beautiful, she's not so beautiful. So he takes a statement which was said about the place, and he interprets it to mean that Rabbi Shua ben Parakya is commenting about physical features of a lady, and he argues with his Rabbi whether the lady is beautiful. Amale Rasha Bekachata Isaac, that's your concern? You're talking about how a lady looks? You're commenting on a lady's appearance? Apik Arba Meir Shipure, he took out 400 shayfers, Bishamte, and he put them into Kherim. Also, Kamei Kama Zimnan, Yeshu came many times to get him to forgive him. Amalei Kablan, please accept me back. Or have a Kamash Mekvei. Rabbi Shua ben Parakya ignored him. Yai Mechad, one day, have a Karis Kriyashma. Rabbi Shua ben Parakya is in the middle of reading Shema. Asalikamei, Yeshu comes. Sovereignly Kabule. So he meant to accept him. At that point, he was ready to accept Yeshu back. But since he was in the middle of Kriyashma, Achvulahu, he went like this. Now that can be interpreted two ways. Wait a minute, or go. And Yeshu Biyade, who Sovereign Mitchadokile? He said, fine, I give up. I've asked him so many times to accept me back. He didn't accept me back. I'm gone. He put up a brick and bowed down to it, meaning basically started Avodah Zarah. So then Rabbi Shua ben Parakya goes to him and says, do tshuva. I learned from you, one who causes others to sin, they don't allow him to do tshuva. But Amar Mar, Yeshu Anaitchi Kishev did witchcraft, the Hasis V'idiach Es Yisrael, and misled many Jews to follow his newly proclaimed religion. Now, the truth is, Rabbi Shua ben Parakya lived 100 years before Yeshu is supposed to have lived. About 50 to 100 years before. Yani HaMelech was one of the Hashmonaim. Hashmonaim were between 200 and 100 years before the Korban. Right? The Goyim say that Yeshu lived, was born 70 years before the Korban, or 68 years before the Korban, but not 100 and some years. So this goes back to the whole thing, that it seems the Yeshu HaNaitzi really lived well before the Goyim attribute that he lived, and that it's a combination of two people, meaning there's a Yeshu HaNaitzi that started things off, and then there's someone else that came along later, if they existed, if they didn't exist. Nobody really knows the story because this was not transcribed. Dr. Schwab will give you the exact date it was written, but the legends about what really happened with Yeshu and his things are really made up later. Weren't put to paper until like 300 years later, so nobody really... What?
A bit closer.
But really nobody has an exact thing because they, you know, the stories that they made up, or, you know, nobody knows what's true, what's not true, what's fact, what's legend, and they put it together and they made a history out of it, so therefore it's not so simple exactly. But according to Chazal, the real Yeshu HaNaitzi who starts things off is 100 years before their person that they claimed is Yeshu HaNaitzi, which they have him in the calendar about 100 years later, a little less than 100 years later. Yes.
Navigation in the 12th century, not the 9th century. But
it had GPSs?
No GPS.
Yes, okay, yeah, go ahead.
They have features there, which is a lot better.
Yes.
But I heard a beautiful explanation of this from Rabbi Margaret's friend from Greenblatt, which is that he wanted to say that the reason why Rishon Barakiah kicked out Ish was not because he looked at a girl, because every yeshiva bachur who ever looked at a girl was kicked out of yeshiva.
No, it's attributed that his Rebbe looked at a girl, right? No, of course, the fact that he looked at the girl didn't get him kicked out. He said, see, he assumed that his Rebbe is studying a woman's features. That's what got him kicked out. Right, right. He lowered his Rebbe, right. The Mepharshim say that. They think that.
Okay, and then I just know the
answer. Did he make motions
during Grishma?
The Gemara talks about Parsha Rishon, Parsha Shniyah. The Gemara talks about it in Yirmah.
But was he worried that his was losing it? Maybe I should talk and say this.
Obviously, he felt that he could get to it, and it was a mistake. He should have accepted him earlier. I mean, I'm not faulting Rabbi Shimon Barakiah. The Gemara is faulting. The Gemara is saying he was duck when Mishnei Yadayim. He shouldn't have. That's what the Gemara says. The Gemara says two people, Elisha and Rabbi Shimon Barakiah. Yes. Yes, the all Gemaras that were printed originally were printed by Geisha printing houses. And therefore, they went through a censor. Anything negative about Christianity was removed. Any reference to Yeshu, any reference to his students, any reference to early Christians was removed from Shas. And they were printed in a separate volume later called Chisreinus HaShas, which was printed on the QT, meaning they did not print it publicly for the fear of retribution by Christians who ran the country where Jews lived in. After we came to America and reprinted Shas, it was felt that today it's safe to put it back into the Gemara. So many Gemaras have re-put it into the Gemara where it belongs, and you can read it. However, Art Scroll's Gemaras are read by many far and wide. In fact, Art Scroll has a standing order that they send one to the Library of Congress and another one to the Catholic Diocese in New York City. They have a standing order of everything that Art Scroll prints. Because to the Goyim, they're still trying to uncover the secret of the Jew. And they're convinced that it lies somewhere in the Talmud. And therefore, they study Gemara from Art Scroll. That's their opening to study Gemara. So therefore, Art Scroll is very sensitive to anything that might be negative. Now, they don't remove pieces of Gemara on their own, but anything that wasn't in there for hundreds of years, they feel comfortable not putting it back in order to, why create a problem when one doesn't have to?
I know you're not a rep for Art Scroll, but they do reinstate, the portion of the Elenium that was considered as parenthetical.
Right, because they today's guy would never attribute that to their religion. Right, the word says they bow down to nothingness and pray to a god that doesn't help them. So the Gaim say that means idols. So we also are against idols. In fact, many Svarim that came out in Europe in the 1700s, 1800s, and even in the 1900s, every time there's a mention about something negative about Gaim, there is a comment on the bottom saying this refers to the old time Gaim who served idols, not to the wonderful nations that we live amongst today. This is a common occurrence in many Svarim, including the Chafetz Chaim, the Mishnah Berurah, the Chafetz Chaim, in his Shmiras HaLashon. Any comment made about Goyim has this thing on the bottom that says that we're referring to the old-time Goyim who served idols, not to the wonderful Goyim that are so kind to us and benevolent to us and let us live in their countries. So this is done to avoid the issue that we're saying things negative about them. Now, once you came to the United States where there is freedom of religion, that is falling to the wayside. People don't write that anymore. You can write whatever you want about anybody. I mean, people say worse things about the president, so why can't you say things about, you can say what about everyone. So that's gone. But Art Scroll is very sensitive to it.
And I think that Art Scroll doesn't put out this other volume you refer to. That's all the references.
No, they do not. No, they do not print that, right. There is a separate volume with Rashi's and Gemara and Tysus that had been removed by censors, and now it's back. A lot of Gemaras have it back in inside. Like the one I have, it don't have, doesn't have it in. The Gemara has it on the bottom, but it's there. Some of the Gemara's already put it back in. Our school sense feels that there's no reason for them to put it back in and create problems when they shouldn't be looking for any. Okay, so Zuck to Rashi. We did already. The Rashi over here is on this Gemara of Rav Shulman Prachya. The Jani Malka Kain Gadol Haya. This again is in the censored version. Jani Malka was the Kain Gadol. The Kato Kulu Rabbanim from Sechtes Kedushin. He killed out all the Rabbanim from Sechtes Kedushin. Shimon Meshetach Achi Ishto Shiyani Amelach was the brother of Yani Amelach from Sechtes Brachas. Uloi Baruch, he didn't have to run away. Trutois Agulois. I'm sorry, I said long eyes. He has round eyes. Achvilei Rav Shulman Prachya Biyadid L'Kabluhu. Rav Shulman Prachya meant to show him, wait 1 second, I'll talk to you. And he misunderstood the sign. That's the Gemara Vayit Amr Tanya we learned. Amr Reb Shimon ben Elazar. Yetzur Tinnik V'Isha Teismol Doicha V'Yimim Mekarevis. The Yetzur, the Tinnik, and the Isha, the left hand pushes away, and the right hand should be Mekarev. Yetzur means, Rashi says, a person's desire. If a person tries to push away all forms of desire, he'll end up doing Averis. People are creatures of desire. They need to fulfill desires. The way to do it is to channel the desire to be done in a legal manner. For people to say, I am not going to give in to any of my desires, after a while, they break open and they just do everything. So, Yetzer is the kind of thing, you keep it close with your right hand, and you push it away with your left hand, which is a way of saying, you control it. It's controlled, but it's not totally removed, because people can't survive that way. Isha refers to... Tinnig v'isha is relationships with children and women who are sensitive, who get insulted quickly, and can be turned away from people by comments. So unless a person is very careful, that even if he has to say something, he says it in a loving fashion, he might turn them off in their relationship. Because they're super they're more sensitive than men are. And since they're more sensitive, Chazal is saying one has to be careful how one words things to them, whereas one does not have to be careful when they word things to men who are supposed to be less sensitive and can handle those kind of things in a better way. What? That's Rashi. That's Rashi. Tavosai. Imachikam imenu legomri v'mayit yeshivas aylam. And Rashi says it a little different than me. I saw another Mepharshim say it my way, but it's my mistake. Rashi says, if you uproot your taiva completely, then there won't be any children. The person will not marry. And the Karva Lagami bothered the Yisr. If he doesn't control it, he'll end up doing Yisurim. She'ani Yachalik Mashiachim Edvaravari. He won't be able to control it. So the idea is to have the Yetzer functioning in a controlled fashion. Tinig V'isha, Daitam Kala, their das is weak, meaning is light. Meaning they're sensitive. Their emotions overcome their intellect many a time. And therefore, an insult can be taken emotionally without being controlled intellectually because of their makeup. You can ruin them from the world because of their sensitivities. Elisha became sick 3 times. One was the punishment because there were children that were bothering him, and he looked at them and he saw that they were Rishoim, and these are not children, by the way, these were adults, acted like children, young adults, and he looked at them and he saw that they were total Rishoim with no descendants coming out of them of any good, so he cursed them, and bears came out of a forest. And the Gemara says, the whole thing was a miracle. There was no forest, there were no bears, and all of a sudden there was a forest, and there were bears, and they killed 42 people. And therefore, he is punished for that, because he caused the death of 42 people, so he became sick. And one was because he was too strong on Gehazi. And the final one was the one that he ended up dying with, he became sick, the illness that he would die from. Till Abraham, there was no aging process. People became old and they looked young. Nobody got a white beard. Nobody had an aging process. People remained healthy and well, and then all of a sudden they just died. That's the way it was till Abraham. I'm sorry. called the Chazal Abraham and Rahai Yitzchak. Called the Chazal Yitzchak and Rahai Abraham. Nobody could tell the difference in Abraham and Yitzchak. They both looked young, healthy, spry, and there was no reason to. It was impossible to tell the difference. So Abraham Rachmi to have a late Zikna. So Abraham davened that he should have age. He should age. Shemar Abraham Zakim Babayamim. He introduced the concept of aging. Now the question is, why did it bother Abraham? So he looks like Yitzchak. So Yitzchak looks like Abraham. So therefore, one has to introduce aging into the world. So I think that is that it was Messira. One, the fact that people age, we become more accepting because we look at them as the previous generation. Whereas if we view them as contemporaries, we're less accepting of them. And therefore, if Abraham and Yitzchak look the same, why should I listen to them? You know, they're me and I'm them. But if there's an aging process, if I understand that they're giving me something priceless from a previous generation, I'm more apt to accept from them. So that's why I think Avraham Avinu asked for Zikna, because if you look at the Lashon HaMedrash, HaKadosh Baruch Hu told them, you are more beautiful than all people. So Avraham said, why am I more beautiful than all people? I and Yitzchak look the same. Well, Terry says he was being mashpia on others, and he was claiming that there was no way for him, again, my understanding of the Medrash. So therefore he wanted aging. Ad Yaakov have a chulsha. Until Yaakov came around, people did not become ill before they died. They aged, but they didn't become ill. Yaakov died, that people should become ill so they should be able to tell their children, you know, give their children their final will and testaments. Children should be able to come to visit their father. From here, people bring a raya that it is appropriate that children be around. Rachman al-Islam, when a person is nifter, their children be there, is a big inyan. Because part of the reason Rashi says Yaakov wanted illness is that the children should be able to gather to their father or mother's bedside. That's what Rashi says. And let me just finish the mission. If you don't mind, we'll do Rashi, then I'll answer questions. Just the middle of the thing. Till Elisha, nobody got healed from illness. Person became sick, it was over. Well, so Elisha, by Rachmi, unfortunately, God, there was illness, but people suffered an illness a long time. Nobody got healed from it. They didn't necessarily die right away, but it could drag on, be chronic. And he's having that you should be able to be healed. Shemar Elisha Cholos Choyashiyamos, which tells me there were other illnesses that he did not die and that he recovered from. Rashi, Cholachad Choyoy Trey Ashiyamos by Klas. Three illnesses. By Rachmi, that the Chuchik Neshe Tzai Labonav, there should be time. Lomik Alechad Vechad Memkai Mailias Allah Bishas Misa. To be around when he dies. Shekim Shereim Shinaf Lamita, when he's already in bed and he's dying because of the illness. Yaidim Shiyamos Umaskapsin Oboim, and the family gathers around. This book, Misrata. Yes.
Yeah, but I thought in Gracious it says, Ainch Nehem Partufe, same Partufe.
They looked exactly the same. One got a white beard.
No, before this, we said, until Avraham Avinu, everyone looked the same.
No, it looks such thing. Avraham and Yitzchak looked the same.
Yeah?
Yitzchak looked like Avraham.
Okay.
And if there's no aging, they look exactly the same.
But you can't. So what is, you can't look exactly the same. Rashi brings down that no two people have the same.
Well, by Yitzchak it says the Pharisee Hashem made him look like Abraham.
Exactly the same.
That's what it says in Rashi. Abraham hailed this Yitzchak, but Kadosh Baruch Hu made Yitzchak a carbon copy of Abraham, so everybody should realize Abraham is his father. That's what Rashi says in Chumash.
I know, but can't. Also, if everyone has the same, what is it? Until Zikna. What does that mean? Everyone, what, looked?
Not everyone. Just fathers and sons looked alike, and you couldn't tell the difference.
Every father and son?
Not every father and son. Some, that way. You couldn't tell who's old, who's young. That's what it's saying. Everybody looked the same age. You couldn't tell the difference between an 80-year-old man and a 20-year-old man. That's all it's saying. Not the physical features were the same. In Avram's case, since Yitzchak was an image of him, same thing, nobody knew the difference. But in everybody else's case, they didn't know whether you ate that way. They didn't get up when you walked into the room. They didn't know you were an elderly person to get up for you and give you the cover, because you look 20. What difference does it make? You and your grandson, they got the same respect.
He says to Elisha, we get he from Machl, says in Chumash, and so what did he
good
need doctor for?
Good question. Good, I don't know. It's a very good question. I don't have an answer. Yes.
I was pointing out that it's chaser about that one thing. The first time someone got paid for curing someone. But so is this a source or reason why both blindness and deafness are not referred to as illness, they're referred to as a form of death?
I don't know. I think illness means weakness, laying in bed. Rahman al Islam, blindness and deafness does not impair the person's physical strength of being able to function. So I don't know if that's the terrorism to that illness. Yes. There was a charesh, there was a shaita, there was absolutely. That's what, so they asked that kasha. By the way, it answers your kasha too. They asked your kasha too. Thanks for jogging my memory. They say that it was wounds and illnesses caused by man, by makas. People beat other people. People fell and hurt themselves. There was no natural illnesses that people recovered from. Rapa yirapa. In fact, there are shittas and rishayim to learn that it's only from man-made illnesses. So therefore, that's not a kasha. That answers kind of, that means there were illnesses, there were wounds caused by falls and hurts and right, that, I might not answer that, but Rabbi Yerabbi for sure answers. So, but natural illnesses were not subject to healing until Elisha came around.
What?
That's Mitzayra. That's Taras. Taras was not an illness in the sense of an illness. It was a it's not an illness in the physical sense of illness. It was a special kind of Kelner Rafana laws by Moshe and Miriam. That's before Elisha. Well before Elisha. Well before Elisha. Thank you, Mishnah Vayit. Dor HaMabu Ein Lam Chelik Leilam Abba. Dor HaMabu Have No Chelik Leilam Abba. Ve'ein Oimdim B'din. However, again, if I understand this correctly, because I struggled with the Mefarshim here, if I understood it correctly, but they're not Eimed B'din, meaning they don't go to Eilam Abba, but they don't get punished as well, B'din. There's going to be a final din at the end of whenever Tias HaMesim occurs, where everybody ever born is going to be brought back to din and receive a judgment for everything that they did, besides the Gehenna and everything else that went on until then. And the Ramabu will not be punished for them. They will not get any extra punishment at that point in then. They won't get Elam Abba, but they won't get that severe punishment at the end either. My spirit will not, how does he translate it?
Contend
with man forever. My din, v'loy ruach. They won't have din, but they won't have ruach, meaning they won't have Elam Abba. No Elam Abba, but no getting punished at the end of time again. Meaning, it suffices the fact that they were killed in this horrendous way of being burned to death by hot water and drowned and everything else. That took care that they don't have to suffer any more b'din. The hafloga eilam chelik leilam abba. The hafloga does not have a chelik leilam abba. However, they are eimdim b'din. Shenemar v'yapet Hashem oisim Hashem apnei kol haaretz. Hashem scattered them around the world. Right? And Vayabat Hashem Aysim Vailam Azeh, and Misham Afitzam, then it says, and then we scattered them Hashem Vailam Abba. Anshay Zdaim, the people of Zdaim, Elam Chelik Vailam Abba, Shemar Vanshay Zdaim, Roam Vachatam Vashem Oid, they were bad and sinners to Hashem very much, Roam Vailam Azeh, Vachatam Vailam Abba. Abel Oimdim Bedin, they will be Oimdim Bedin. I'm a Farshim Abad that Abel Oimdim Bedin seems to say it's a Mila. But the way we translate it, it seems to be a Chsar. So I don't have a good shot in that. But they will be Eimed B'din, meaning they're going to be worse than the Dor HaMabu. The Dor HaMabu got enough of a punishment that they don't have to be Eimed B'din, and Anshei Zdaim will be Eimed B'din.
There's nothing worse than not having Olam Habo.
I guess there is worse than not having Olam Habo. Again, you're dealing, you asked me to comment on something I have no understanding of. There is worse than not having Olam Habo, and that's the Eimed B'din. That's what it seems to say. Again, I know there are Mepharshim that want to learn the other way, but that seems to be the consensus. How does Arsko explain it? And then Eimed B'din being an attribute is a chasarn, a mailer chasarn. Better for them or worse for them? I think the Yad Ramah says that Eimed B'din is a better, meaning that they don't suffer the din, even though they don't get Elam Haba. What?
Particularly fitting for them to stand for
stand for justice, they themselves prevented the administration of justice. So they're getting it again.
I'm the petition. It's worse.
Yeah.
That's what I said.
Wasn't the jury out then?
Going with the Mishnah that says they do. That was the Mishnah is going that way. Bilam was also mentioned. It's the same Mishnah. I mean, one is on Naftali, one is on Abkuzai, but it's the same Mishnah.
But that was the Yassin. But this seems to take the whole gang.
Well, certain cities. Till now we were talking about Yechidim, now we're talking about generations that don't make it.
So I would have thought that with the double partial that this group was not.
I don't know. Yes. That extra punishment at the end.
But everyone's going to come back, have this judgment again.
That's I'm the Medin.
No, but not if it's a good thing.
I'm the Medin is a bad thing.
I mean,
it's good for the Tzaddik and bad for the Rishon. Einayim the Medin spares them from that.
Now, is this the same thing as we had before? I forget who it was with. There's certain people that are Vitzel, Tali, Vakoi.
I don't think so.
This is worse?
Yeah, much worse. Yes?
Is the Gemara going to discuss why the Dwarf Flagge has lumped in with these other generations that did such awesome things to their fellow people?
No, the Gemara will not. Not that I know of here. But the Maisa, they wanted to go fight Hashem. I mean, they did. I mean, they didn't hurt people, but they.
Well, the difference seems to me to be that the sandwiched in between two generations that were absolutely vicious to their fellow people as could be. They were just outrightly vicious.
Well, we're going in a historical context. The Mishnah is working historically. Anshe Dor HaMabul, Anshe Dor HaFlagge, Anshe Zayin.
Okay, so I don't mean the place, but I mean the inclusion at all.
I'm trying to figure out your question. Are you trying to claim that therefore they should be spared? I mean, they should get Eilam
Haba? Yeah. Well, why are these? It would seem that they're not quite like the others.
They're not. But they did their own thing. In fact, Rashi asked the question, they should be treated worse than the others. They wanted to go fight Hashem in the sky. It was total. But Rashi's answer is that the reason they got treated better in this world than the others is because they got along with each other. But it doesn't save them from the fact that they did a horrendous sin, not Ben Adam L'Chaverim, but Ben Adam L'Malkum.
But that in itself is a statement that it's lumping, it does lump.
Right, but I think the order here.
Yeah, I didn't mean
okay, but the order is historical.
It bothers me for a long time. You know, it's looking for ladies and children. I don't care. When's the last time?
What was that for? Yes.
When's the last time someone got up? I'm serious. And said, you know, if you guys don't shape up, you're going to Olam Haba. Why don't we ever have Musar anymore? Why don't we ever have anyone?
They're leaving it for you.
No, I'm serious. These are things that are stories. This is real life. And no one blasts anyone anymore.
Maybe because everybody gets home.
Maybe because we're very sensitive, and it's like Yates or Tinnig Bisha. We're all like Tinnig Bisha.
That's sad.
Yes.
I will point out that I have plenty of mutter from Rabbi Shura.
Why do you say people don't give mutter?
Not the mutter that we want, that we should be hearing.
Because you have to give mutter that works. You can't repeat, you don't have Eilam Haba more than a few times. After a while, like every other piece of mutter, it loses its thing.
I remember the last time anyone ever told me to make an Eilam Haba. Which is a seaboard. I'm really serious, though.
I'm telling you that people have to use the way that works. You have to appeal to people. You can't bludgeon people. It doesn't work anymore. If it sure won't work more than a few times, after a while people become immune to it.
I think
Eilam Haba is not something they associate with at this point. It's difficult.
I think what I've learned today again is the last few months we've had terrible things happen.
Yeah, so why does anybody get up and say
no one's coming
coming out the way they used to come out. 30 years ago,
maybe again. I think it's not the subject of this year, so I'm going to defer. I don't think it's the place and time. I do have an answer, but I don't think it's the place and time right here. I mean, if you don't mind, it's just that we're busy with Anshe Zayim here, and let me just do Rashi. Layad Neruchim Layzaim VeRuach Sheinaim DeBedim VeElam Ruach VeYisam Tzadikim Shesh Lam Chelik. VeYavet Hashem Aitzim Hashem Afitzim VeYavet VeElam Hazem Hashem Afitzim VeElam Abba Hashem Scattered Him and VeElam Abba. Elu VeElu Anshe Dar Amabu Anshe Dar. That's right. When you get there, let's come tomorrow morning. I think people are coming out. I don't think we were as attuned to listening to them as we were. That's why this is happening. What happens is when you were younger and you had Gedalim of Rebbeitsh and these people, you listened to them. Now you're older, and therefore you don't look at the Gedalim Yisrael, at least most people don't look at the Gedalim Yisrael. I'm on tape, and therefore.